just know that if I hear about folks changing their fees, and I see that all the time on threads, people will say, well, it's time for me to increase my fees. If you change your fees on existing clients, you have to amend this in writing. They have to fill out paperwork. You can't just raise someone's fees without giving them the opportunity to consent to that.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kate Walker. I'm a marriage and family therapist, practice owner, and professor of counselor education who took a passion for training the next generation of mental health providers and turned it into a multi six-figure business that designs the courses that teach mental health providers how to be clinical supervisors. Teaching graduate students and seasoned counselors, I learned about the fears. Fears about failing, quitting toxic work environments where you're seeing 80 clients a week, fears about starting a private practice, running out of money, getting in trouble by the licensing board, the IRS, you name it. I created the Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses community so mental health providers like you could have a step-by-step guide and learn actionable steps to achieve the security, freedom, and satisfaction of a counseling career you'll love. Look, you had the dream to become a mental health professional. You got the degree, you took the exams, you put in the time. Whatever your business is, a private practice, maybe you want to sell courses like I do, you're adding clinical supervision, you want to write a book or get paid to speak, whatever it is, you are too important to your community to lose to getting in trouble, giving up, going broke, and burning out. Are you ready to break through those fears once and for all? I thought so. Let's get to work.
Welcome to Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses, where it's all about working smarter, not harder. And here's your host, Dr. Kate Walker.
Whose favorite color is orange?
Hey, badass, it's time for your paperwork review. I'm going to take you through the service agreement, also called a consent form or a consent for treatment. And I'm going to tell you about the software that I use, the HIPAA compliance software that I use to deliver this paperwork to my new clients. So you'll get a great overview of that in this episode. But I'm going to ask you, please don't forget your employee-facing paperwork. That's your contract, your records custodian agreement, your policy and procedures manuals, and your supervisee-facing paperwork for you supervisors. That's your orientation. That's your supervisee contract. Summertime is a great time to take those ebbs and flows in our client load to really do some housekeeping in the practice. So let's get your badass practice in shape. Let's get to work.
All right, here we go. I'm Dr. Kate Walker, and I'm going to take you through a paperwork shape up for July 2023. And luckily, not much has changed in the world of BHEC, LPC, LMFT, other than some best practices that have come forward regarding social media. But there are some things I want to draw your attention to when it comes to delivery systems, things that you can do that make things more convenient for your clients. And all in all, just make it very, very clear to you. And if you're listening to me on a replay and on a podcast, don't worry, I'm going to walk you through everything I screen share. If you're watching me on a replay, awesome. And awesome to you too, listener, because if you're taking time out of your day to listen to an instruction, you're just making your practice better. And good on you, because you're too important to lose because your paperwork stinks, or you know, you didn't know what to put in it, or all the things. So don't forget, this is June if you're listening to this. So for us right now in real time, it's June. And next week, we will have a webinar with the amazing attorney / LPC supervisor, Laurel Clement. And she's going to be taking your questions. It's going to be awesome, because I know when we get an attorney on a webinar, we just want to ask them all the questions. So if today brings up questions, jot them down. And you can post them in Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses, or you can come to the webinar, or if you're listening to this on a replay, I can bet you that Kate Walker Training is offering a webinar that will address it. So post your comment anyway, if you're in Facebook. All right, so here we go. I'm going to talk about intake forms and client-facing material. I'm going to talk about employee and staff-facing material and supervisee-facing material. Now, that's a lot to cover. So right up front, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to go into depth in these things. I'm really going to focus on the client-facing material. So I will have more information about supervisor contracts, policies and procedures manual. If you have the Step It Up membership, you know that there is a training where I talk about records custodian. If you're listening on the podcast, also there's an episode about records custodian. I'm going to talk about all of that today. So if you wish that I went a little deeper, it's likely that there's already a YouTube or a podcast out there. So I will direct you to that so I don't leave you hanging. And I'm going to take you into the back office of something called JOT forms. Now, I get a HIPAA compliant version of JOT form because I'm a solo practitioner. Those of you with larger practices, you might want something a little bit more robust. But the idea for me is to make it easy and HIPAA compliant, not just HIPAA compliant, of course, HIPAA compliant first, protecting that protected health information that our clients trust us to maintain properly. So I want to show you this because in the back office, you can see how I create the forms that then go to my clients. My practice is completely virtual. So it's really important that I have a way for my clients to view the forms they need to view, assign them easy, right? Not have to print it out and sign it and scan it and upmail, email it and all that good stuff. This, and also I use a HIPAA compliant email system. So the service agreement and consent to treat is what I'm going to draw your attention to for this training today. And it looks like almost like a Google form, right? If you are familiar with Google Workspaces or Google Apps, you're familiar with Google Forms. And so I feel like for my clients, there is a bit of recognition here. It's like, oh, I know how to do this. So the service agreement and consent to treat, I designed this in the back office. It's really easy to do when I want to create a form. There have tons of templates, lots of ways to design this. But so I'll show you how I did it. With the client name, and of course, the little star means you have to fill that out. I want to know if the person completing the form is the client. If they're over 18, the name of the family member completing it. If it's for a minor client, personally, this is outdated. I don't take minor clients anymore. I'm a marriage and family therapist and a licensed professional counselor. That just was a choice that I made during COVID to stop seeing minor clients. But I still have the information here. If there is a custody agreement, JOT Forms allows me to pull a widget into this form so people can upload that document here. And I also want to know if other family members will be attending the first session. I know there are a lot of ways to do this and people have consultation forms, et cetera, et cetera. I want a service agreement for everybody. That's just my theory. That's how I operate. If you come to counseling, I'm not going to treat you as a bystander. I'm going to treat you as part of the process. And I get an emergency contact name and phone number. Now, this, of course, is taking the place of our face sheet. You guys remember back in the day when we were face-to-face, and some of you may still do this, you just have this paper sheet to get all the demographics. Well, over the years, I've gotten rid of a lot of information on the face sheet. So you may have more, and that's totally okay. I'm very, very kind of bare bones. And I don't want a lot of information here. I like HIPAA compliance, but you know, the less information I'm transmitting through the internet, as far as I'm concerned, the better. So JOT Forms is wonderful. You know, there's going to be enough information like the custody agreement that's going to be transmitted electronically. I just don't want a lot of details about the issue. So this is where I want to draw your attention. This is my intake form. This is my client service agreement, also called the consent for treatment. And I have a section about the No Surprises Act. And I'm not an attorney. I don't play one. The No Surprises Act of 2022. And I help my client understand how I meet the criteria set forth in the No Surprises Act. I give them a link to go to the No Surprises Act webpage And I let them know that their signature below indicates they understand how we comply with the No Surprises Act and that we made the health information privacy rights available to them here. So again, this is just a widget in Jot Forms where people can upload things. I chose to go to the HIPAA website and download a PDF that explains health information and privacy rights. And I think they have this brochure in several languages. So I upload this, folks can download it. And again, they sign here and that indicates that we have given them that information. And then they click submit. It is submitted to my email inbox. No identifying information at all. I have to go into Jot Forms, log in order to see who actually completed the information. All I get is an email subject line, you know, client filled out a form, but it won't give me that information. So this is where I wanted to start you today so you could see exactly how I do this electronically because my practice is completely virtual. You know, if you have a face-to-face practice, this is still pretty handy because folks can fill it out. So this is a PDF, and I actually just downloaded what I have in Jot Forms because I wanted to see if it was updated. You guys think I do this for you. I do this for me. I do this so I can make sure all my paperwork is up to date. And I hear from you guys. If you guys see something that's misspelled, or if you're like, hey, Kate, things have changed, I hear from you. And I really appreciate that because when I show you guys these things, it's to the most recent laws that I've heard of. But, you know, if I missed one of the LPC or LMFT board meetings, or I missed a BHEC meeting or something is changing, sometimes I get it wrong. Sometimes I get it wrong a lot. Just ask my kids and my husband. And I'm going to take you through the headings first, and then we'll go through the details. So the headings are going to be counseling services, meetings, fees, which includes my policy on changes and cancellations in court testimony, how to contact me, emergencies, my social media policy, the limits of confidentiality, counseling via technology, professional records, which we'll go into that a little bit more in depth, my death or incapacity statement, and client rights regarding privacy and HIPAA, minors and parents, and then finally, the updated notice to clients. Now, if you have not updated this, this has been around now for, I believe, 2 years. Once BHEC got their website up, this is where folks can contact BHEC if they're filing a complaint. If you still have your old LPC or LMFT information, you got to get that changed. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on counseling services. Honestly, it hasn't changed for me in years because I haven't changed my theory. This is still how I view counseling as far as what it can do, what it cannot do, about how many sessions they can expect, the fact that it's an investment of time and money.
Membership, shmembership. Why would anyone want to join a membership? Because you're sick and tired of trying to find great information that will help you start your career, grow a practice, stay out of trouble, and oh, by the way, not be boring and outdated. You already know I specialize in helping you grow your skill set and career with quality courses on demand that people actually want to finish. But why should you have to pay for every single resource I offer? Let me introduce the Step It Up membership. Step It Up members have access to over 50 trainings on everything from preparing your accounts for tax season to using SEO to improve your Google rankings, writing a book, staying HIPAA compliant, to learning how to create a press kit if you want to start public speaking. You also get access to over 25 courses that you can use as continuing education and that meet the new Texas 50% from an approved provider rule. Are you a supervisor looking for a consultation group? Step It Up members get free tickets to the Texas Supervisor Coalition monthly live consultation group featuring great speakers and incredible up-to-the-minute information to keep your license safe. Feel overwhelmed by lots of choices and want an interactive training with a real live person? I've got you covered. Step It Up members get weekly live training with me every single week. And did I mention that Step It Uppers get a coupon for $100 off the 40-hour training to become an LPC or LMFT supervisor in Texas? Yeah, you get that too. You're the one working your butt off, sweating through the summer, corralling kids, and facing slumps in your client load. I want to help. All summer long, I'm offering a 50% discount on the annual and monthly plan for the Step It Up membership. No contracts, and if you don't like it, quit anytime you like, but you're gonna love it. You are too important to lose because you pay too much for online courses, you sat through expensive, boring live trainings, and you got suckered into long-term commitments with memberships that just didn't deliver. It's time to take the next step in your counseling career. And it's super easy to do. Just go to katewalkertraining.com/podcast. That's katewalkertraining.com/podcast. But you gotta act fast. This is going away as soon as the summer ends. So get the discount, get the resources, and take your practice to the next level. I'll see you on the inside.
So I expect all of you to have your own personal statement regarding counseling and what your clients can expect. Meetings, again, this goes back to my theory. This is how I view what better looks like and the work I feel like I'm able to do. This is really one of those touchy areas. You've got to really look inward, but also if you take insurance, if your theory is a longer process, that's okay, right? You just want to make sure it's very clear here. The professional fees, right here, you can see my fee per hour, changes and cancellations. This is so important. I actually have a whole module regarding this in the Badass Basics course. I think I've done another just standalone training about having a fair late cancel, no-show policy and making sure that your clients understand that. Now, for me personally, if you've been in any of my courses before, you know that I don't believe in charging a late cancel, no-show before the first session. Yes, I know they've already completed the paperwork electronically. It's just not something I feel comfortable doing because I don't feel like they're my client yet. Once you're my client and we've had a conversation and I'm able to clear up any misunderstandings, then okay. And you do you. If you want to give them one strike, if you want to give everybody a freebie, that's absolutely on you, but put it in writing. This hasn't changed regarding laws or rules or anything like that. Just know that if I hear about folks changing their fees, and I see that all the time on threads, people will say, well, it's time for me to increase my fees. If you change your fees on existing clients, you have to amend this in writing. They have to fill out paperwork. You can't just raise someone's fees without giving them the opportunity to consent to that. So make sure any amendment that you do to your paperwork, you send your client the opportunity or the paperwork so they can agree or disagree. I talk about court testimony. So this is another thing I want to clarify. If you get a subpoena, you have to go. There's not like, well, they haven't paid me yet, so I'm not showing up to court. Yeah, it's not like that, at least not in Texas. So if you are subpoenaed, you will be compelled to do whatever they say you have to do. Again, I'm not an attorney. You would want to consult your attorney or your malpractice insurance or your professional organization. But if you work with high conflict families or you work with a couple that's on the brink of divorce, this is really important. You may want to get a retainer up front. You may want your clients to understand that if you are subpoenaed, you will use the credit card information on file to have that hourly rate taken. So again, consult with your own attorney and your own malpractice insurance and have the conversation, right? Explain to your clients, especially if they've told you upfront that this may turn into a court case, you can let them know your fees. Contacting me. Now, this is personal. This has nothing to do with rules. And there is a rule in our code of ethics regarding client abandonment. You want to make sure that your client knows what to do in an emergency, especially if you're like me and you're like, hey, don't contact me during an emergency. Contact 911, right? There are other helplines available out there if you are in the middle of a crisis. And so I let my clients know right off the bat how to contact me, when I'm available and when I'm not available. I just did a training last week, and I believe it's live on the podcast, but I will definitely post the link in the Badass group and in the Step It Up group for the episode once it goes live. The reason I'm bringing this to your attention is you've got to have a way for clients to at least understand that you're not available, right? You have to let them know what to do. And if you're going to be leaving for an extended period of time, and that like social media isn't a way to contact you, that you're not going to contact them with text messages. If you have HIPAA compliant texting, if you have HIPAA compliant email, and you want that sort of communication, that's up to you. For me personally, I don't want that. And I make it very clear to my clients. Social media policy, I'm not going to dive into that, but I will put the link to the episode in the show notes. And limits of confidentiality, I'm not going to go through that. That hasn't changed in a long time. So this is chapter 611 for Texas counselors, mental health providers, and it helps folks understand how we protect their records. One of the things I can tell you right now, I make sure that I keep a link to the privacy policy for the company that hosts my client records, right? And it's easy to do. If you have any kind of electronic health records, there will be a link to their privacy policy or their BAA, their business associate agreement, so that you can see, and if you can see, why not your clients, right? Let them see how their records are protected. And I'm looking at this, and this says Tsukasa. And if you have been around me long enough, you know Tsukasa actually went out of business and I had to change providers. So Google Workspaces actually protects my client records now, the HIPAA compliant version of Google Workspaces. So I can tell you right now, if you're watching this on a replay, this will be changed after this is over, but it's definitely not Tsukasa anymore. And then we go through about under what circumstances I will no longer maintain confidentiality. So danger to self, danger to others, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to go through that. But again, you guys can look that up. Chapter 611 in the Texas code and in your licenses. Counseling via technology. This is really important, but a lot of us already took care of this in 2020 with COVID when we all had to switch to counseling via technology. So I adapted these from the MVCC Code of Ethics. LPC and LMFT, they have a few things in there about counseling via technology, but really we're kind of at best practices. ACA has wonderful things to keep in mind when you're counseling via technology. So if you put something together that has to do with, remember, this is all client facing. You're helping your clients understand the limitations of technology. Just make sure that you keep and take into account your licensure laws and best practices. So professional records, this goes back to the protected health information, how we keep records, if we have to copy records, and termination, death, or incapacity of a counselor. My husband is my records custodian. And, you know, if you are going to have someone be your records custodian upon your demise, which you must have, this is in both LPC and LMFT codes, you must have a records custodian. You want to name somebody that's able to maintain your records for 7 years, right? Who's got your credit card number? So if they're able to maintain the records, in fact, there's a really good question I saw posted in Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses for Laurel Clement when she talks to us next week about that record custodian's responsibility. You know, do they have to keep the records for the full 7 years? When can they destroy them? How can they destroy them, right? So there are a lot of gray areas here, and making sure that you have that in your paperwork is important. Client rights regarding privacy and HIPAA, minors and parents, and then of course we ask for a signature. So remember, when I started this, I said that there were at least two other areas of your paperwork that you need to get in shape, and that is your employee facing, and that would be your contract that you share with employees. It could be your records custodian statement, making sure that you have a policy and procedures manual with a progressive discipline plan. And for supervisors out there, making sure you have a really good supervision contract, like we teach in the 40-hour training to become a supervisor in Texas.
Hey, badasses, we can all agree that counselors want a path to a successful counseling career, but that means you have to find quality training. That's not even the real barrier. The real problem is a lot of information can be overwhelming, and you, my badass, are busy. So you're probably asking yourself, how can I improve my practice while still caring for people? How do I grow my skill set, become a supervisor, without losing my work-life balance? How do I find quality training that won't cost too much time and money? Bottom line, counselors who want a successful counseling career value the goal of growing their skill set and even becoming a supervisor, but at the same time struggle with finding time to attend quality courses. Counselors can't overcome this barrier because so many times courses with tempting titles overpromise and underperform. Let me ask you something. What if there were courses that delivered exactly what they promised, that didn't take a lot of time, and didn't break the bank? That's exactly the kind of course we design at Kate Walker Training. I specialize in helping you grow your skill set and career with quality courses on demand. And we have so many to choose from. If you're asking yourself, where do I go if I want to sustain my practice and grow my marketing presence? Well, check out the Step It Up membership. What do you do if you're ready to pay it forward and add streams of income? Well, check out the supervisor training. See if you're eligible. If you're looking for an experience that's more hands-on, keep an eye out for open enrollment for Badass Basics and our exclusive mastermind groups. Dr. Kate Walker, thank you so much for listening to Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses. Thank you to Ridgely Walker for her lovely voiceovers at our introduction. And do me a favor, when you get a second, please like, share, and subscribe, and write us a review. That's really how we get picked up by other RSS feeds, and we get this information out to the mental health badasses who need it. Thanks again, and keep saving the world with excellent therapy.